Lord, let your holy presence fill this place as we reverently open your word. Let everyone who hears understand just how wonderful you are and how your grace and mercies know no bound to those who love you. Amen. In an article in last year's Our Daily Bread, it read, "First the man selected a tackle box. Standing in his town's small bait shop, he then filled a shopping cart with hooks, lures, bobbers, line and weights. Finally, he added live bait and selected a new rod and reel. Ever fished before?" the shop owner asked. The man said, "Nope." "Better add this," said the owner. It was a first aid kit. The man agreed and paid. Then he headed off to a day of not catching a thing, except snags on his fingers from his hooks and gear. Has anyone had a similar experience? I remember the odd occasions when Dad would take me and my brothers fishing in the late 70s when we holidayed up in Geraldton. We spent more time taking the hooks out of each other than out of fish, particularly when it was really windy, like it often is up in Geraldton. There are few things more annoying than being snagged in the ear by your brother's fishing line. Boy, did we used to get annoyed with each other. Poor Dad spent most of his time untangling our lines, baiting our hooks, and telling us to shore up, which is Pommy for be quiet. This wasn't Simon's problem of the New Testament. He was a professional fisherman. It was his vocation, his means of employment. He was a seasoned fisherman who was incredibly surprised one early morning when Jesus, who he barely knew, told him to take his fishing vessel out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Jesus, after using Simon's boat as a preaching platform, said to him, "Go out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Despite a long night of Simon catching nothing, zero, nada, zilch, zero is a horrible number for a fisherman, isn't it? Simon and his crew must have had a hunch there was something special about this man called Jesus, because they decided to do as they were told. After a long sleepless night of nothing, they went out into the deep again, let down their nets, and caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break to the point where they had to signal to their partners in the other boats to come and help them. They came to help, and even their boats became so full of fish that they began to sink. That's a lot of fish for a boat beginning to sink. When the jubilant Simon made it to the shore, he immediately fell at the feet of Jesus, urging Jesus to "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." That's an interesting reaction, isn't it, to such a great big catch of fish. "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." Let's pause here for a minute. Simon, the seasoned fisherman, knew he just witnessed an amazing miracle. After a whole night of not catching any fish, he knew he couldn't catch fish now that the light had come. Simon knew these waters well, but in simple obedience to the word of Jesus, who, by the way, was a carpenter, not a fisherman. I mean, would you listen to a carpenter on how to fish? What would a carpenter know? But Simon had a hunch about this man and did as he was told. And as a result, a big, big, big miracle took place. This one was an award-winning catch, people. This one was a money winner for Simon. There was money in them there fish. I'm in the money. I'm in the money. I got a feeling that this was quite possibly the biggest haul Simon had ever had in all his years of fishing, and he was a seasoned fisherman. So as far as Simon was concerned, the only one who could possibly be responsible for this miraculous haul is the holy, righteous, miracle-making, perfect God. That's why he said, "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." Simon, at such an early stage in his relationship with Jesus, had a little glimpse of who Jesus was, and he spoke it out. This marvelous experience helped him see the true identity of Jesus. The true identity of Jesus is God. The true identity of Jesus is God. And God is indeed holy, pure, and righteous. He is the only God, and he is holy, pure, and righteous. Furthermore, Simon realized he didn't measure up to this man who was God, for God is pure. He knew that. And he, Simon, is not. He's a dirty, filthy, rotten sinner who doesn't deserve in any way, shape, or form to stand in his presence. So he said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." Listen to me. To begin a deep and meaningful relationship with Jesus, you need to have a glimpse of his true identity. And you need to know your own identity at that point in time. Who is Jesus? Who are you? Who is Jesus? Who are you? Holy, dirty. Perfect, flawed. Savior, sinner. Knowing these facts helps us approach and begin a meaningful relationship with God. Simon's incredibly humble reaction was obviously what Jesus needed to hear. Maybe this whole episode was a test for Simon to see how he would react, because Jesus' response to Simon's plea of, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man," was, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." Whoa. Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. The Bible says that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. He was right at the beginning here. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. To know him and his true identity is to fear him. We have a lot to fear concerning his holiness, his righteousness, his power, his wisdom, and his knowledge. He knows it all. But Jesus wants a personal relationship with us. He wants us to be at peace with him. Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. From now on, you, Simon, will fish for people. This is the moment that Jesus called Simon to become his disciple. This was the moment that Jesus was clearly showing Simon what his true identity would be in God. A fisher of men, not fish. If you are not a Christian and you are wondering who you are. You may have spent your whole life wondering who you are and what was life all about. May I tell you that you'll only find your true identity in knowing Jesus. He has a plan and a purpose for your life. He knows who you're meant to be. He's your creator. He made you. We are at our absolute best when we are in right relationship with God. And by the way, there's only really one relationship we can have with God, and that's the right one. Yes. It's true. Jesus knew Simon. He knew who Simon was meant to be. So he told his future disciple, from now on, you will fish for people. Hearing that, Simon left everything and followed Jesus. It was as simple as that. Simon left everything and followed Jesus. I need to say that that was a huge shift for Simon to just walk away from it all. He wasn't as young as the other disciples. We know the older you are, the older you get, the harder it is to make a change. But he made that change. And remember, he left his vocation in which he just experienced an amazing catch. Things were looking up in the business of fishing. It is not good to leave the fishing business when things are looking up. But Jesus said, in the Australian way, nah, that's not for you, Simon. I wonder if that catch helps sponsor Simon's itinerant ministry with Jesus. You don't know. Or whether he had to leave all the money behind. We don't know. The Bible doesn't say. But this miraculous event catapulted Simon into a whole new way of life, a wonderful way of life, a disciple of Jesus, a fisher of men. For the next three amazing years, and I'm sure being with Jesus and witnessing such an abundance of miracles, those years flew by, don't you reckon? When life is really good, it goes really, really fast. The last 2 years have gone very, very slowly. For the next three amazing years, Jesus trained and equipped Simon to become a fisher of men. How blessed Simon was to walk the earth with God in the flesh and learn directly from him. Pretty cool, huh? Without a doubt, throughout those years, there were many, 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 many high moments for Simon. One of which was when Jesus changed his name to Peter. After Simon had declared the truth of who Jesus was, when Jesus asked his disciples who they think he is, Simon answered, "You are the Christ, the anointed one, the Son of the living God." Jesus was very, very pleased with Simon at this point and showed it with a change of name to Peter. It's a bit of a change of identity there, isn't it? Simon to Peter. But there were some low moments, like when Jesus rebuked Peter for speaking what Satan wanted him to. Unwittingly, Peter became the mouthpiece of Satan, and he got told off for it. But that low moment didn't come anywhere close to the dreadful moment when Peter denied knowing Jesus. After three wonderful years of knowing Jesus, of having more than a glimpse of his true identity, Peter denied ever knowing him. Peter broke his own serious promise of undying love and loyalty and deserted Jesus when Jesus needed him the most. Let us read Luke chapter 2, verses 54 to 62, and this is in the Good News Translation. This is a very sad account. They arrested Jesus and took him away into the house of the high priest, and Peter followed at a distance. A fire had been lit in the center of the courtyard, and Peter joined those who were sitting around it. When one of the servant women saw him sitting there at the fire, she looked straight at him and said, "This man too was with Jesus. He was with Jesus." But Peter denied it. "Woman, I don't even know him." After a little while, a man noticed Peter and said, "You are one of them too." But Peter answered, "Man, I am not." About an hour later, another man insisted strongly, "There isn't any doubt that this man was with Jesus because he also is a Galilean." But Peter answered, "Man, I don't know what you are talking about." Now in the book of Matthew, it actually says that Peter began to call down curses and he swore at them, "I don't know the man." Gosh, that's a big fall from recognizing the divinity of Christ, isn't it? "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I don't know this man. I don't know what you are talking about." At once, while he was still speaking, a rooster crowed. Jesus turned around in the courtyard and looked straight at Peter. And Peter remembered that the Lord had said to him, "Before the rooster crows tonight, you will say three times that you did not know me." Peter went out and wept bitterly. For me, this is one of the saddest stories in the Bible. Peter went out and wept bitterly. He failed. He failed. When Jesus needed him, he failed. And God had revealed to him exactly who he was. What a disappointment, a bitter disappointment Peter was to Jesus and to himself. He knew the true identity of Jesus. He knew that Jesus was God in the flesh because God himself had revealed it to him. He knew. But in this tragic account, Peter is saying, "I don't know the man. I don't know anything about him." If that's not a serious letdown in a relationship, I don't know what is. This was a letdown that Peter was going to find very difficult to get over. For him, this letdown was on par with betrayal. In fact, it was like a betrayal. Peter, feeling disillusioned with everything, decided to throw the towel in and return to his old life of fishing. He was leaving behind the true identity he'd found in God and was going back to worldly expectations. I mean, Peter knew that Jesus had risen from the dead. That was great news. But Jesus wouldn't want anything to do with Peter now, right? He was a failure. He was a letdown. He was weak and pathetic. He couldn't even keep his own word to God. God wouldn't want him now. God needs the best, not the worst. And Peter was the worst friend that God could possibly have. Believing everything was over, he returned to his old life as a fisherman. He reached for his old identity, the one that he knew oh so well, the one that he'd been comfortable with for years. He said to some of the other disciples, "I'm going fishing. I'm going fishing." And the other disciples must have been feeling pretty similar to him because they said, "We'll go with you. We'll go with you, Peter." So they went out fishing. They were out all night long and they caught nothing. Zero, nada, zilch. That's how it is, people, when you're in a spiritual place where Jesus doesn't want you to be. Spiritually speaking, you catch a big nothing. Let us read from John 21, verses 4 to 12. This is beautiful. If you want to know what God is like, this is God. This is how he deals with people. John 21, verse 4 to 12. When the sun came up, Jesus was standing on the beach. Two suns have come up. Hallelujah. When the sun came up, Jesus was standing on the beach, but they didn't recognize him. Jesus spoke to them. Good morning. Did you catch anything for breakfast? They all answered, no, nothing, zilch, nada, zero. Jesus said, throw the net off the right side of the boat and see what happens. Throw the net off the right side of the boat and see what happens. I wonder if they were thinking at that time, we've had this before. They did what he said because they've been through this before. All of a sudden, there were so many fish in it, they weren't strong enough to pull it in. Then John, the disciple, said to Peter, it's the master. Of course he would. You put one and one together. Jesus did this for his last time. It's got to be the master. No one else can do this. It's the master. When Simon Peter realized that it was the master, he threw on some clothes, for he was stripped for work, and dove into the sea. The other disciples came in by boat, for they weren't far from land, 100 yards or so, pulling along the net full of fish. When they got out of the boat, they saw a fire laid with fish and bread cooking on it. Who had started the fire? Jesus. He was cooking for them. God was cooking for them. He knew they'd had a long night. How beautiful. Jesus said, bring some of the fish you've just caught. Simon Peter joined them and pulled the net to shore. 153 big fish. And even with all those fish, the net didn't rip. That was a miracle. The net didn't rip. The net didn't rip. Jesus said, breakfast is ready. Not one of the disciples dared ask, who are you? They knew it was the master. The Bible says they knew it was the master. I love the way Peter swam to Jesus. Jesus was there and Peter swam to him. He couldn't wait to get to Jesus. They knew it was the master. And the master hadn't finished with them yet. In fact, he was just beginning. This story touches my heart because it clearly demonstrates Jesus reaching out to his discouraged, disgruntled men. Metaphorically speaking, Jesus crosses the bridge to Peter and he extends his hand, but Peter had to take the hand. He did. He swam to Jesus. Jesus understood Peter with his funny idiosyncrasies, with his moods and emotions, with his disappointment in himself. Jesus doesn't hold those things against Peter as long as Peter responds to his beautiful outstretched arm. His forgiveness, his grace, and his mercies are new every morning when one is in relationship with him. I'm going to say that again. His forgiveness, his grace, and his mercies are new every morning when one is in relationship with him. God knew exactly where Peter was, both spiritually, emotionally, and physically. Jesus understood Peter. This is why Peter's true identity is only found in Jesus. The first catch of fish was an awesome miracle where God first called Peter. The second catch of fish brought restoration and a reaffirmation of that first call. The meal was on Jesus. Isn't that nice? Treat someone to a meal. Let the meal be on you, because Jesus does that. The meal was on Jesus. He took time out to deliver another amazing miracle, to feed them, to fellowship with them, to love them as a friend who really cares, and to remind them their job was now to feed the new sheep that would be born again into the kingdom of God. If you're in a relationship with God, He hasn't finished with you yet. He hasn't. He loves you even with your faults, failings, and imperfections. You're a work in progress as He molds you into the image of His perfect Son, Jesus. Don't give up on yourself by giving up on Jesus. To give up on Jesus is really to give up on yourself. I'm going to say that again. To give up on Jesus is really to give up on yourself. Because we only find our true identity in Him. This morning, Jesus is reaching out to you. Have you reached a little pothole in the road of life? Are you finding it hard to move on in your relationship with Jesus because of disillusionment and disappointment, whatever the cause of that may be? You may have let Him down badly, just like Peter, but Jesus is calling you today once again to Himself. He wants to bring restoration and reaffirmation of that first time He called you to Himself. He does not forget that first time. Take His hand as He reaches out to you. Would everyone please close their eyes and bow your heads? Everyone close your eyes and bow your heads. If you feel this sermon has been spot on in describing where you're at right now, I would like to make the most of this opportunity to pray for you. Jesus is calling you back to Himself. You need to respond to His call and allow me to pray for you. If this is you, would you please raise your hand so I, as a servant of God, can pray for you, because you need prayer. God has given me this message so I can pray for you. Is there anyone today? Raise your hand. And by the way, this includes to those who may be watching online. You can raise your hand wherever, whenever you are watching this on YouTube, because I'm going to pray for you. Yes, I can see that hand at the back there. Anybody else? Yes. Yes, I can see that hand. Anybody else? Yes, I can see that hand over there and over there. Anybody else? Let me pray for you. Do not miss out on this prayer, because God is speaking to you. Heavenly Father, you see the hands raised today. You know everyone's personal situation in detail. In fact, you know everyone better than they know themselves. Father, we firstly want to say we're sorry for any wrongdoing we've instigated against you. We repent of doing things our way, and we confess that we want to live as you have called us to live. We want to be what you've called us to be. We acknowledge and hold to our true identity in you. Holy Spirit, let this prayer seal you in a powerful way into the hearts of everyone grabbing your outstretched hand right now. Lord, let them hold on to your beautiful outstretched hand right now and never let it go. Lord, we thank you for your great love towards us. You are indeed an awesome God, slow to anger, but abounding in loving kindness. Amen. Amen.